That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Anybody feeling weighed down today? Like the weight of the world is bearing down on your shoulders. Like it's your job to fix everything, make everybody's lives better, easier, maybe not so painful. You look around at the needs of your children or the dysfunction in your family or the mixed bag of teaching in our churches and then the upside downness of our culture and just almost collapse under the pressure of, I gotta do something. I think if we're honest, sometimes we don't know the difference between what God has actually assigned to us and what we make our responsibility. Maybe because our hearts are tender, maybe because we're trying to be compassionate, or maybe, just maybe, because we like feeling needed. And then we come to scripture like Galatians 6, a passage that gives us two commands that seem like they could contradict each other. We've got bear one another's burdens on one hand, and then each one should carry his own load. Contradictory? No. The Apostle Paul is teaching us something profoundly wise here. And I'm just praying that this is going to help you get your mind around this in a fresh new way today. There is a God-designed difference between responsibility and concern. Galatians 6, 2 through 5. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Okay, so hold on here, Paul. You're saying bear one another's burdens, but each one will have to bear his own load. What's going on here? Is Paul confused? Nope. Paul's not contradicting himself. He's distinguishing between two categories of weight. And here's where it's important to understand the context. There's burdens, and in the Greek, this word speaks of an overwhelming weight, something that's too heavy for one person to carry. And then there's loads. And in the Greek, that's like your individual God-assigned responsibility, like a soldier's pack. It's your load and you got to carry it. One, the burden, is meant to be shared. And the other, the load, is meant to be carried personally. And understanding the difference is what's going to keep you spiritually sane. Okay, so quick circle back to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Burdens are not the same thing as daily responsibilities. And sometimes this verse even gets interpreted as the burdens are the hard stuff, the overwhelming circumstances of life, like the death of a spouse or the loss of a job or a chronic illness. Yes, believers are supposed to help each other in these types of situations for sure. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking primarily about the everyday hardships of life. He's actually speaking specifically about the heavy spiritual weight of battling sin. Now, I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. Check out verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So the burden in verse 2 is the transgression in verse 1, the crushing spiritual load of sin and guilt and temptation and moral weakness. It's not simply grief or stress or hardship. It's the soul-crushing weight of being overtaken by sin. Charles Spurgeon preached on this in his sermon, Burden Bearing. He preached it in August of 1886. And I only mention that because I think it's really cool that God's word really is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What was true for Spurgeon is true for us. And he says that the burdens that believers have to help each other carry are the burdens of sin, the burden of fear, the burden of inward corruption, the burden of temptation. He emphasized that when Christians are overweighted by sin, that those who are stronger in the spirit, we got to come alongside those that are weaker as burden bearers. And that aligns perfectly with Paul's pastoral logic in this passage of scripture. And one day, we're all going to need someone to come along and help us bear our burden. So this is not a call to enable sin. It's not an invitation to take responsibility for someone else's choices. Did y'all hear me there? It's a summons to be compassionate as we restore another believer together, side by side. So burden in this context is a spiritual weight that's become too great for a believer to lift alone, specifically in the area of sin. Maybe it's temptation, maybe it's guilt that's crushing a person's conscience, or a pattern of sin that they feel like they can't break out of. Wherever it is, whatever it looks like, sometimes our sisters in Christ, we have to step in and help shoulder the weight because they're feeling defeated or stuck. And like I said, this could be us next week. So we need to fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, as we move toward our sisters, our struggling believer friends, maybe fellow churchgoers, not away from them. So what does burden bearing look like? It looks like maybe just speaking the truth with gentleness from God's word, maybe helping lift her chin up to see the truth of who Christ is and his love without coming across as superior. We got to give accountability to each other. We have to pray for our friends when they're tempted. And then a big one is sometimes we all need help untangling the roots of our sin. When we are deep in our sin, it's difficult to see what is motivating us, what the root of that sin is. But if we have help, someone might be able to see and point out something that we can't see, those blind spots in our walk with Christ and our sanctification. So Spurgeon says this is the art of putting our shoulder under our sister's load, not to carry her guilt, but to carry her weakness in the fight. Not just sympathy, not just climbing in the burning vehicle with your friend and agreeing with her that, boy, it's hot in here, but dragging her out with the truth of God's word to safety, to a place of hope, to a place of obedience. And as we bear the burdens of others in this way, we're actually helping with each other's sanctification. Yes, we're justified by faith alone. And yes, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But our sanctification is a lifelong war. And there are seasons where the battle is too heavy for one believer to lift alone. So biblical love, the law of Christ, Paul says that's what we fulfill when we bear each other's burdens. Not to gossip about each other and not to self-righteously correct each other, but to help them fight. And if you're going to be a faithful burden bearer in Galatians 6 fashion, you got to be willing to go into the hard places that you'd normally avoid at all costs. You have to be willing to go into the other person's battle against sin and offer that accountability and prayer and encouragement and help to trace the roots of sin. There have been times where I've said to a friend, I'm going to hold the hope for you right now until you're ready to hold the hope for yourself. And this is what Paul says fulfills the law of Christ. It's sacrificial, it's restoring, and it's sanctifying love. Think of it like this. We don't carry someone else's guilt or responsibility, but we do help them carry the weight of their repentance. Y'all know by now that I am not in any way promoting some kind of enabling of sin. Not at all. This is truly entering the battlefield of sanctification together, where we're standing shoulder to shoulder under the banner of the risen Christ. We leverage our spiritual strength to support someone else in their weakness. We lend them our courage, our clarity, the truth of God's word, the love of Christ, and we help them see Christ again. And that leads us to verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, Paul switching words here. This is not the burden of verse 2, the crushing weight. This is the personal assignment, the load of verse 5. Remember, think backpack, not boulder. These are the responsibilities that God expects each person to carry for themselves. Personal holiness, their own spiritual growth, decisions about their life, confession, repentance, stewardship of their resources, their work that they've been assigned, their obedience to Scripture, their walk with Christ. These are not things that you can or should carry for someone else. You can't repent for another person. You can't obey God for them. You can't produce their sanctification or manage their emotions or force them into spiritual maturity. And you certainly can't fix their choices. That's their load. So helping someone doesn't mean taking over what God has assigned to them. It is helping them bear the burden of their sin as they carry their own load. So here's the principle Paul's teaching in a nutshell. We are responsible to people, not responsible for them. So the question then is, why do we so often carry loads that aren't ours? Or sometimes we refuse to help carry those burdens, people struggling with sin, that's actually ours to help shoulder. Why do we do that? Well, let's take a quick break and talk about that when we come back. And hey, while you're busy listening to Jimmy, would you take a moment to follow the show on Apple or Spotify or Amazon or wherever you're listening if you haven't already? And while you're there, would you just leave a quick review or a star rating? That's one of the best ways to help more people find all of us here at Fortis, and one of the best ways to multiply opportunities for ladies like you to hear the truth of God's word. I am truly thankful for all of you who support this ministry, and I'll see you after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment. I don't know if you've ever learned or learned to see the line Libby just drew right there. Responsible to people, not responsible for them. I know I probably have made that mistake more times than I can count, because we confuse helping somebody fight their sin with fighting their sin for them. And when that happens, we end up exhausted from taking on the weight God never assigned to us while neglecting to actually help the person we thought we were helping. And that distinction Libby is giving is so helpful, as is all of the things that you're going to learn from Libby and all of our fellows through the content that we're releasing every single day at Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus is where we distribute all of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute. And you know what? It is absolutely free. There are no barriers, because we believe that the content we're creating should not be hidden behind a paywall, that the church, it should be built up and edified, and we should be able to do it absolutely free of charge. And our gospel partners help us to do that. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But what I want to encourage you to do right this moment is to download Fortis Plus, so you have access to right now the hundreds or even thousands of hours of audio and video content that we have available for you to listen to. And note that we're adding to it every single day. It's not static content. It's content that's increasing every day. You can download Fortis Plus right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to that free thing, because that's extremely important. Again, we believe that the content we're creating should not be hidden behind a paywall. You should not have to pay for it. And that's been the heart of this ministry ever since it started over 25 years ago, first as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, and now as Fortis Institute. Unfortunately, it wasn't a reality until recently, because, you know, it takes money, it takes resources to create content and release it on the widespread scale that we aim to do. And so it wasn't until recently, with the help of our gospel partners, that we've been able to realize that dream that we've had since day one, which is to provide all of our content free of charge. And we're doing that again with the help of our gospel partners, men and women who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they've decided to link arms with us so that we could reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if you're faithfully giving to your local church and you have a margin where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful and proud to stand arm in arm with you. You can find out more information right now about what it would look like in your life to join us at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Libby Glosson. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
So burdens and loads. And in the context of Galatians 6, specifically the burden of sin and the load of daily responsibilities, a soldier would never hand off his pack to another soldier. That's his to carry. But sometimes the fight against sin can seem really overwhelming. We struggle to resist temptation. We need a comrade in Christ to help bear the weight, to help us lug the boulder up the hill. And Paul says that when we help shoulder the heaviness of sin for a brother or a sister that's having a hard time, we're actually fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of love. So, two things. Why do we insist on taking someone else's backpack? You know, the one they're supposed to be carrying, we just rip it right off their shoulder. In fact, it's actually good for them to be carrying it. And then on the other hand, why do we find every excuse in the world not to help a fellow Christian in their fight against sin? Well, it could be that you just simply have misplaced compassion. Your heart aches when you see someone else struggling to the point that you mistake concern for responsibility and you rush in to rescue. But I think it's more common to trace this to people-pleasing, aka fear of man, Proverbs 29:25. That's another topic for another time. We don't want to disappoint anyone, so we say yes even when God would have us say no. We don't like conflict, so we try to smooth everything over. We like being the fixer, don't we? So we jump into the arena of someone else's life when we shouldn't, which really is just pride, isn't it? Paul warns about this in verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something. Sometimes we believe, I can fix them. I love that I'm needed to keep everything together. You know, if I don't step in, everything will just fall apart. But that's not humility, my friends. That's pride outfitted in a way that makes it justifiable in our own minds. And I think it's also common for Christians to be just confused about what biblical love requires. There's such a push in the world to do everything in our power to eliminate suffering and pain. But God has a purpose in those things. Namely, to open people's eyes to their ultimate need for Christ. So we end up thinking we're helping, but in reality, we're replacing the person's God-given responsibility in a way that God never intended. And when we blur these categories, we end up exhausted and discouraged and spiritually stretched thin. And the person we're either helping, air quotes, too much, or ignoring altogether, suffers as well by our actions. One of my favorite tools that I use often in biblical counseling and really in my own life as I'm seeking to live this out in a biblically faithful way is the circle of concern and the circle of responsibility. So you're going to have to use your mind's eye for a second. Picture two circles, one inside the other. The outer circle is the circle of concern, and these are all the things that we care about, the things that affect us emotionally and spiritually and relationally, like the salvation of your children or the decisions that your adult kids make or your husband's anger or apathy or your best friend's destructive sin pattern. You might have in your circle of concern your church's struggle or even the state of our nation. Maybe something more personal like the suffering of someone you love or the sins that someone refuses to deal with. And these things matter to you. They should. You should care deeply, but they are not your responsibility. They are your concern. You can't control them. You can't manage them. You can't force change in them. You can't take ownership of their decisions or responses or spiritual maturity or lack thereof. God gives you compassion for these things, but not control over them. And then there's the inner circle, the circle of responsibility. And this is the circle that God actually holds you accountable for. This is your load. And inside this circle are things like your thoughts, your words, your attitudes, your obedience, your emotions, and how you steward them, your choices, your spiritual disciplines, your repentance, your stewardship of relationships, your responses to other people. This is where you have God-given authority and accountability. You can't control your husband's temper, but you're responsible for speaking truth and love and responding to him without sin. You can't control your child's salvation, but you are responsible to teach them, to pray with them, and to model Christ to those children of yours. You can't control someone who's battling drunkenness or sexual immorality, but you are responsible for how you walk with them, what you allow, and what you refuse to participate in. You can utilize these two concentric circles in a very practical way. When someone I'm talking to is entangled in someone else's decisions or trying to figure out what their role is in another person's life, I ask them something like this: which circle does this thing, relationship, person belong in? And then I just walk them through three steps. Step number one, name the concern. What part of this breaks your heart? What are you worried about? Why is this concerning to you? Write everything down. Make a list. Step number two, identify what's not your responsibility. And you can just do that by asking a few questions. Can you control this? Is this your load? Is this your assignment from God? If the answer is no, it goes into the circle of concern. Then step number three, identify what God is calling you to. Few more questions. What is your responsibility here? What is the obedience you need to walk in? What would faithfulness look like today, right now? Not for them, but for you. And these are the things that go into our personal circle of responsibility. So how about a few examples just to clarify? Let's say you have an adult child that's making sinful decisions. He's making sinful decisions. Your concern should be that child's rebellion. You care about his heart. You want to see that child walking closely with God in obedience. But your responsibility is not to start making decisions for your child, your adult child. Your responsibility is to pray, to give wise counsel, and to love your child like Christ loves them. Okay, maybe you have a husband who is lazy. He's refusing to work. And you should be concerned because he's exhibiting passivity. He is struggling with the sin of laziness, but it's not on you to make him unlazy. What is on you is your communication with him, your obedience. Do not participate in the laziness and your faithfulness. You don't get to be disobedient just because he is. Your obedience comes from your love for Jesus, not from your husband's doing what God has called him to do or not. So, let's say it's not your husband and it's not laziness, but you have a friend in ongoing sin. What's your concern there? And rightly so. You should be concerned about their spiritual danger. It's right and faithful to say to your friend, I am concerned about your soul. But changing them, that's not your responsibility. Your role is gentle restoration, speaking the truth, and loving them like God has called you to. How about a wider net, like a church conflict? Does this concern you? Yes, especially if it's the church where you're a member. The division should concern you because the Bible calls the church to unity. But your responsibility, that starts and ends with you. Your humility, your repentance where needed, you being a peacemaker and being obedient to God in all things. See how when you separate what you care about from what you're responsible for, it helps you to begin to live with clarity and peace. And when you start living out Galatians 6, 2 through 5, the way that Paul intends, you stop trying to be the Holy Spirit for other people. You're faithful, but not controlling. You're walking in obedience yourself, but you're trusting God to do the work only He can in other people's lives. My husband and sons have a running joke that I am the director of everything, that I'm constantly operating behind the scenes, pulling strings and plugging things in to fit what I think should happen. So it's a funny family joke, but it's really not that funny. And God has been working on me overtime in this, especially since my sons are both married now. If I'm acting like the director of everything, that's sinful on my part. I am not the Holy Spirit. I can speak from experience that something else also happens when you start living out the Galatians 6 mandate. You're going to stop burning out. When you carry your own load and you stop trying to solo carry everybody else's burdens, you won't be so worn out and tired. So yes, shoulder part of the burden where sin and temptation are involved, but don't take over other people's assignments. You're going to love people better. Yep, that's right. All my friends who think it's loving to fix everyone around you. When you love people with the truth of God's word, instead of being on a constant rescue mission, you're doing it right. You will grow spiritually in the process too. Sanctification all around for everyone. And like Paul says, when we do this God's way, we obey the law of Christ. We help where God calls us to help, and we get out of the way where God calls us to move it. Listen, you were never meant to carry every weight you feel. In fact, if you're insisting on it, you're bucking God's system. And take it from me, that is not the road you want to be on. Have a big heart. That's wonderful. Have compassion. Jesus did, and so should we. Be concerned, but quit trying to drag the responsibilities of everyone around you into your circle. Stay in your lane. Let God do the work. So today, let Galatians 6 shepherd your heart. Bear the burdens God calls you to bear. Carry the load God gives you to carry, and entrust the rest to the faithful hands of the one who carries everything. And now that you know the better way to think about burdens and loads, responsibilities and concerns, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.